I'm Cody from Game Life Balance US, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to the Starling Tribune newsroom at Star City. I am Stargate Pioneer, your chief editor. My friends call me SP, and those that know me, that podcast, I'm the monkey flipping the switches. And your reporters for this episode 4 of season 5 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
By the looks of those rags, he does not hit the dry cleaner very often.
Ooh, they must stink. And Michelle.
In Bradfa, there is no death without purpose.
In Bradfa, there is no death without purpose. It's the Russian accent. At least I know partially how to do that. It is awesome. Hey guys, this podcast is recorded on Thursday, October 27th, live on Geeks.live. So we are comic enthusiasts that love to get our weekly pulls from our comic book stores, right, gang?
Yeah, weekly.
And Michelle.
Oh, the stacks this week, it was like 2 inches high. I'm just like, what? Oh my gosh.
The pull list growth and groweth until your wallet says, no, I can't take any more of this. Tonight, we'll be discussing this week's episode of Arrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as The Flash, Supergirl, I'm Gonna Be Nice Tonight, and Legends of Tomorrow.
Don't forget Constantine.
Oh, Chris was the one who was bad this week.
That's what you get for making me talk about Laurel so much.
Hashtag no Laurel, no Arrow. Hashtag Chris says so.
So just a reminder, we do get into a lot of speculation here on the Starling Tribune. Sometimes that speculation is based off information the showrunners have let out via interviews or cons and things like that. So even if we are throwing out wild speculations, we might occasionally be right. So consider this your spoiler warning. If you want to avoid spoilers, you might want to skip some of our speculation. And while we're talking about spoilers, don't forget, we also geek out and talk about the week's DC Comics, so every once in a while, there could be some comic book spoilers that come into play, but we promise we'll try our best not to ruin it all for you, maybe just a little bit by accident.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. If you like our content, why don't you swing by our podcast network home at GunnaGeek.com, where you can find all of our past shows, plus a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, all under the Gunna Geek Productions banner.
Woohoo! That was quite the intro. I'm ready to get into this episode. Michelle, tell us, break it down for us, let us know what's going on with this.
Well, this week was Penance. It aired on Wednesday, October 26th, directed by Dermot Downes. He did 3 Arrow, 5 Legends of Tomorrow, 5 The Flash, 3 Supergirl, 1 iZombie, 2 The Originals, and 1 Gotham. Writers, Brian Ford Sullivan, has done 9 Arrow and 7 Vixen, and Oscar Balderrama, 8 Arrow, 1 Drop Dead Diva, and 2 Eli Stone.
Drop Dead Diva, that's awesome. By the way, before we get any further, for those of us watching on YouTube, we are dangerously close to Halloween, and I have my Arrow shirt on from my T-Fury purchase a couple years ago, but definitely Michelle takes the cake because she is decked out as Island Oliver Queen.
Yeah, I got my leaves in the hair, got my dirty t-shirt, my long flowing purple beard. I got my trusty bow. I'm ready to take this island by storm.
Yeah, and you're going to have to clean out the leaves from your microphone too after this one.
It can handle it.
Okay. All right, so Michelle broke down the episode Penance. That's a good costume, by the way. And let's talk about Penance. Let's talk about what it means for the episode, what it means for the characters, what it means for the series so far. Chris, what do you got for us?
Everyone's paying penance for different things. I mean, the title is obviously what it's all about in this case. You've got Diggle wanting to pay his penance for the fact that he killed Andy and still feels guilty about it. And then Felicity's still struggling with the fact that Haven Rock, she blames herself, and she might have caused other people on the team to feel like they should sort of blame her, maybe, until that's resolved.
She said she's going to live with it for the rest of her life, but she's also going to make future mistakes for her life, so she's just got to get over it and move on. Otherwise, nothing's going to get done.
And can we just remind everybody that it wasn't her fault for Damien Dark's the one that pushed the button?
That's true, but she still blames herself is the takeaway, though. She still sees it as her fault. She knows rationally here in her brain, but the heart doesn't realize it quite yet.
That's a good way to put it. Chris has a very large heart.
No, I don't. I'm like the Grinch over here, man. My heart is like four sizes too small.
Is that right? Was that with the Dr. Seuss? Was it four or was it 10 size?
I thought it was, he grew three sizes, I thought is what it was. But hey, anyone who's in the chat room who wants to correct me on my Grinchisms, please feel free and you'll see my heart get even smaller.
That's right. Chris's heart gets smaller. I still say Chris has a big heart. So we'll go with that until he proves himself wrong in this podcast.
I'm glad Laurel is dead.
No heart at all.
Thank you, sir.
Are you a robot?
I'm a Cylon, actually.
Are you a Cylon or are you a Westworld guest or host?
I haven't seen Westworld yet, so I'm going to stick with Cylon.
Okay. If you do, consider yourself a host versus a Cylon. In any event, in Arrow Penance, we had some pretty good fights. We had a kind of a failure at the start because Wild Dog, you know, pulling the trigger pretty fast. But then we got some, at the end, Wild Dog versus Church. Wild Dog actually held his own a lot longer than I thought he was going to.
He tagged him pretty good. Church has got a nice little shiner afterwards.
Yeah, I was impressed a little bit.
I was too, especially since we've seen the stuntman for Church move with the stuntman for Oliver Queen. And yeah, it was impressive that he was able to give Church a shiner like he did. I mean, I'll give good credit to him. I don't think Oliver's ever done any damage to Church yet.
Maybe not. It might happen eventually, though. I mean, Church is a... I mean, by the dictates of plot, we know it has to at some point in time. But I imagine that this upcoming episode will probably get a pretty decent knockdown, drag-out fight at some point.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of Rags taking the explosion from behind? That was awesome CGI.
That was pretty cool. You know, he just stood there and everybody's like, what? And then it was just like, he's like, stand back. It's going to blow. And then, boom. I didn't realize that he could do that.
Neither did I. My only worry is it becomes overplayed because we got it twice within like 2 minutes in this episode. And I was like, uh-oh, don't do this too much.
Because he's the shield for all the bullets too, with all the Rags going, don't look over here. I'm scaring everything and taking all the bullets and that sort of thing. So that worked. But the explosion with the Rags taking the explosion, it had that same yellow that they used last year for magic and definitely indicating that the Rags have some magic to them.
So what'd you guys think about the prison escape? I mean, I enjoyed a lot of the ramp up to it. It felt almost like watching Splinter Cell, the video game on TV a little bit. But then at the end, they went total Dark Knight. Here, put on this harness. And as soon as Ollie hands Diggle a harness, went, oh no. They're going to steal right from the Dark Knight, aren't they? And I was like, pull out the bat checklist. And of course, C-130, whatever comes flying overboard, they get hooked on and pulled straight up in the air. I was like, send your checks to Christopher Nolan, please.
Well, I'll have to go back into actual history. And if you've ever seen the movie, now, this is actually based on actual history, although we're talking about a movie here. Have you ever seen the movie Ice Station Zebra?
I have not.
Nope.
So it's about the Cold War, and the actual movie was about early satellites took pictures, but they didn't have the internet. They didn't have digital cameras back then. So they actually had to send film canisters back down to Earth. So what the United States tried to do is they tried to capture these as they were coming down with large scissor grabbers that would grab into the parachute lines and then reel in the capsule from behind. And that's how we did the capsule captures. But Ice Station Zebra, I think one of the things that happened was the capsule didn't get caught and it actually fell to ground and they had to go get it so that the United States could go get some intelligence. Also, apparently Special Forces have used that as well. If you've ever seen the movie Green Beret, you have seen that before.
Yeah, but it was set up almost exactly how Christopher Nolan did it.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong, it's not a bad thing, but I was sitting there, I was going, oh man, I wish the bat checklist were back. Because remember, season one, season two, we used the bat checklist a lot. So it was just fun to me.
Sure. That's lots of fun. I could think of your body being jerked like that. Yeah. Michelle, what do you think?
I have mixed emotions about this prison escape sequence. Because first of all, it's like there's no prisoners around to see Oliver just walk around because he's walking past cells. Then there's like hardly any people guarding it. And then he has this magical can of stuff that eats through anything but the can it's in. And then they're there and then they're surrounded, but they're not shot. I don't know how to feel about this prison escape. It's like, I'm glad Diggle's out, but I was just kind of hoping a little bit more, I don't know, coolness.
Look, they spent too much of the budget on the special effects for the rags. They couldn't afford the extras for the prison. I don't know.
I have a bunch of the issues with the prison escape too. So let's go back to reality. If Lila is indeed helping this escape, don't you think whoever's in charge of Department of Corrections, U.S. Marshals would be interrogating Lila as to her whereabouts that night?
Well, we haven't gotten past that night yet. That very well could happen next week.
Right. And then everything else was just, you know, the little device that you just put in the monitor for the surveillance system, and then you get access to the entire surveillance system. Really?
I don't understand why Felicity was just so against it, like so against it that she wouldn't even help.
Well, mommy and daddy were fighting again this episode. That's what that was all about.
Or at least he could have gotten Curtis. I thought when Felicity said no, he would have gotten Curtis to help.
Okay, so out of all the new guys, and it's hard to call Curtis a new guy, but let's call him a new guy. He's getting beat up the most. I mean, I know Wild Dog got captured, but Curtis got stabbed in the back by a throw knife. I mean, dude's got hurt.
Well, he does have the least experience out of any of them out there. He's been training less than Laurel did before she became Black Canary.
So here's an idea. Get the dude some armor.
Well, that's the thing. And Guggenheim has said this even. These guys don't have their final costumes yet. I mean, I think we read interviews either last week or the week before where he equated the final costume is kind of pretty much their final initiation into things. And one would assume then that that'll have a little Kevlar weave in it or something like that.
I hope so, because he's going to get himself killed real quick if that doesn't happen. Of course, you know, we know he sticks around for a fair part of the season so far. We haven't been informed that his contract's been cut or anything, so we'll see him around. Of course, they did kill off Laurel without killing her contract off first, so who knows. In any event, Curtis brings up the fact that he is no longer working at Palmer Tech, which we've seen Felicity get fired. So that brings up the question again, Michelle. You've brought this up before. Where are they getting their money from?
I have no idea, because this means that Curtis is out of a job. One of the things, like when I said like Curtis to help, I was hoping he would like kind of like be Ollie's Felicity, like on this little prison break. But so if Curtis is unemployed, that means he's married. So that means he's in a one income household now. I don't know how expensive Star City is, so hopefully, I guess they're making it on that one income.
I think real estate is pretty cheap in Star City.
Yeah, the murder rate's a bit high, so.
Yeah. And then, so Felicity's not getting it paid. Mayor's salary probably isn't that great. Wild Dog isn't working. Artemis isn't working.
All Regs does is sit there and weld pretty stuff.
Yeah. Who is paying to keep the lights on in the Arrow Cave?
Look, just because Ollie's not a billionaire anymore doesn't mean he's not a millionaire anymore.
Do you know how much money that will take? They have the computers on all the time. They have to have it climate. There's air conditioning and stuff. And oh my gosh.
Well, you just hack the power company and you make it look like nothing's going on. I don't know. I got nothing. There's some obvious holes as to how they afford all this.
Yeah. I think that needs to be addressed at some point in time. It's just glossed over a bit too much for me. Yeah, I mean, they got the nice motorcycles and everything, too.
They got nice motorcycles on all of the CW superhero shows.
That was something that I noticed in the premiere episode, because I rewatched it again, is that both Thea and Oliver's motorcycles were on separate parts of the Arrow Cave. And it was nice. It was a kind of a panning shot between the two as they were arguing. And it was nice to see both of them down there. I haven't really seen them since. So where did the motorcycles go when they're not in there? And oh, by the way, where did Oliver come from? And why did he pick that moment to enter in with the line? Other than it was written that way or plot.
We would assume there are multiple entrances in here because how many times did they get ambushed last season in the cave by the League of Assassins or by any other assorted goons?
You would think they would have plugged up a couple of the holes now. I mean, it has to be more than, because Curtis says, because he's just that cool. It's got to be more than that.
I imagine that Oliver has a secret entrance of some kind he hasn't told people about just so that he can get in and out undetected. You can't always go in the elevator. What happens if the elevator's broken? How are they going to get in?
Through the ventilation shaft.
Always the ventilation shaft. Always.
Possibly.
Okay, so moving out of the Arrow Cave for now, because we've hit it too hard right now. We need to go over something that's a little bit lighter. Let's go over to the Bradfa and the fact that Oliva is now Bradfa.
He passed third test. Good for him. All he had to do was go to jail, get some information, threaten a guy's family, tell him he wasn't going to kill him, get the info, and oh yeah, kill him. And my favorite part was there's the dead body and the guard comes over and he's like, he fell. And I immediately flashed back to the Hunt for Red October when Sean Connery kills that dude and then he tossed down some tea and the guy come in, he's like, he fell. He slipped on the tea. And I was like, nice move, Oliver. Nice move.
Definitely. You know, I think that the reason that the guy fell in the cell was because the teacup that he was holding was fractured by Flashpoint.
Exactly.
Okay. So now we know why the guy actually died. It wasn't because Oliver killed him, although that was just a traditional gang initiation. Kill a guy, you can be part of our team.
Sure, we'll go with that.
I liked it how he killed it with, I guess, is Ollie's Bratva signature move with the neck snap.
Done it at least once before this season, right? Because when he was in the ring fighting.
Well, it's a callback to season one when he was snapping dudes' necks when he and Tommy got kidnapped. He did that exact same move, if I remember right, or at least something very similar.
Yep, dude knows how to kill people and takes it seriously. He struggles with it, but I don't ever think that he wakes up in nightmares for the people that he's killed like Thea does.
Well, to him, he took that lesson from the Broth of the Heart. There's a purpose.
Well, except for when he stopped killing for like a season and a half.
Because Laura didn't want it.
Yeah, look how that turned out for her.
And Felicity didn't want it.
All right. So Diggle is pulled out of prison. He's still a wanted man by the military, by the way. So they have a little different rules than your civilian people, marshals coming after you. It's even worse. And he thinks he can just hide out and get away with this?
Doesn't matter, man. The bromance is back. That's all that matters. It's going to be hard for him to hide. I mean, I don't care what you do. Diggle stands out. He's a big, imposing dude. People are going to notice him. And they're going to be like, didn't you go away to war or something like that? And eventually things are going to circle around. The question is, how long is it going to take for them to find a way to clear his name? That I don't know.
Are they going to clear his name?
One would think.
Why didn't they work a little harder to clear his name?
Because it was against the general and all his lackeys. It was an ironclad case. They couldn't get around it.
Yeah, but his wife runs like one of the biggest spy organizations here. You would think she'd be able to dig into things and, well, she might not be allowed to, though, because it's, you know, her husband.
Yep.
Never mind. I retract my statement before I even finish it.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
So what's up with Ali's gout? I hope that gets better soon.
Yeah, because he's so overweight. Yeah, that's how he got it, because gout is a buildup of uric acid, and it does commonly more, you know, happen in men more than women, but it's usually if one is overweight or drinks a lot of alcohol, eats meat or so. Yeah, I mean, he's like one of the best physical specimens on the earth. Like, Thea, couldn't you have come up with something better than gout?
Well, it could have been a lot worse. She could be like, yeah, he's got the herp or something like that that he's getting treated.
The herp would have made more sense.
Well, the herp or the clap or something like that. He's got a raging case of syphilis, bro. He can't be here.
He's just got an enlarged big toe. He's got the gout. You know, leave him alone. Stop making fun of people with gout, people. Oh, believe it. You guys are bad.
I'm bad? I said it was syphilis. That's funnier.
You know what was funny? Seeing Honda Civics in Mother Russia.
Da, comrade. We got them on the cheap, okay?
Yeah, a Honda Civic parked right next to an Audi. I guess that's okay. I guess. I don't know. I don't think Russia has Hondas.
In Soviet Russia, we have Hondas.
But wait, this would be 10 years ago, which would have been 2006.
No, this would have been 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah, 6 years ago. Yeah, so there could be.
It's a luxury item.
Yeah, I don't think that Honda exports to Russia their cars, but I could be mistaken.
Well, there's a huge illegal trade stuff that happens. I'm not saying it legally got there. I'm just saying it's plausible that it could have gotten there.
There's a simple reason why they're there. One word, Flashpoint.
Ah, there you go.
It's the built-in excuse for everything at this point in time. It is the best smart writing ever because you can write anything off to Flashpoint at this point in time.
I've watched through episode of 2 this season so far of Flash to the point where everybody basically accepts Flashpoint. And I'm going, we're going to have an argument about this at some point in time because I do not believe in what they did. I think it's just a cheap gimmick. And whatever, but it's story for another time.
But you know, Barry's going to go back in time and screw everything up, and then you're going to believe in it again. Just wait, like 5 minutes from now, we're going to be doing this podcast, SP's going to be like, I love Flashpoint now. I'm going to be like, what the hell happened?
I know, and then Chris is going to be like, I love Laurel, and he's going to mean it. He's actually going to have a background with a huge life poster of her, and we're just going to go, thanks, Barry. Thank you so much.
I'd sooner eat dog poop.
Have you eaten dog poop?
That no. Can't be arranged. I do have a dog.
So do I.
Okay. Okay. So let's move on from Chris's dog pooping eating habits to let's talk about, I don't know, Felicity. Do we have anything else to say about Felicity other than she took charge when Oliver was away?
She's got to get a job, man. How's she affording that big loft apartment if she doesn't have a job?
And a new dress.
Every episode, right?
Did any of you notice if Felicity and Ollie are mommy and daddy, when Rory came back, like at first she was like, no one can go. No, we can't take on church. We can't take on church. And then Rory comes and is like, yo, I forgive you. Like, I want to be back in the team. Yo, I'm here. And all of a sudden she's like, oh, okay, Rory's here. Now everybody can go out and play. Like, mommy has a favorite.
It's the rebellious teenager come home once again.
Yeah, and then everything's okay because everything's right in the world for this holiday until people start fighting over dessert.
She knows that, okay, he's technically the more powerful of the team. And then she makes this decision to leave Wild Dog behind. And my thing is, why didn't she send in Rory? Because if he can withstand blast and bullets... Why didn't they send him back to go get Wild Doc?
See, I was curious about that as well, because they've always made it a point in the past. They really don't leave anyone behind. They always go back to get someone that gets left. So this was kind of a change where it's like, oh, we got to leave him. And I was like, but why? You guys still have superior-ish numbers.
Because the true favorite, Curtis, was stabbed with a knife.
'Tis just a flesh wound.
And Artemis was still there, like... carrying him along. She didn't need both of them.
Did she actually shoot anyone in that fight scene? I can't remember now.
I don't think she got a shot out.
Yeah, poor Artemis. They need to do something with her quick because she's becoming forgettable, which is sad.
Yeah.
She had more lines this week than she had in the past couple weeks. Probably combined.
They really need to get to costumes, though, because hers is the worst out of the new guy's costumes right now. Let me just wear like a fabric mask over my eyes and street clothes, basically.
They went from the ensemble cast that had just about everybody in it to nobody from that ensemble cast back. And then they reloaded with all these newcomers, cops included, DAs, stuff like that. And they're a bit suffering from that again, because you're not getting every single character every week. Heck, we don't even see the cop boyfriend this week.
That's because he's off being bad.
Boom, 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 boom.
Dun, dun, dun,
bad
dun.
To the bone. And talking about bad to the bone, Quentin, I think he's doing the best that he can with what's there. The DA reminds us that there was some bad blood between the Lances and the Queens, and seeing them together is not, it's very unusual right now. And Quint encountered with, you know, I know where the hatchet is buried, so that's good. But at the end of the episode, when they lose Wild Dog, he's like, I'm so relieved that was our only casualty. Oh, thank goodness. Really? You just lost a guy, dude. Find out where he is.
They were trying. Keyhole satellites couldn't find him.
I know, but Quentin's got some, he's got to still have some contacts on the street.
He probably does, but he does not have all of his S together at this point in time. I mean, his own words, he's only been sober for a week right now, and he's probably still detoxing or something to that effect, because he's hitting the bottle hard.
Yeah.
He looks pretty rough. I mean, go and look at him even when he's at work right now. His suit doesn't seem to fit him right. He's unkempt looking at work right now. So he's still working on trying to put himself back together.
I guess, Michelle, what do you think of Quentin right now?
I think he's doing as best as he can. I think the dynamic between him and Thea is very interesting. I'm not saying that he looks at Thea like as a daughter, but there is some sort of like parental friendship relationship thing happening between them. And I always think it's interesting watching those two in a scene now. And he got to drive the getaway van. So it's nice to see him in both worlds, because he's involved with Mayor Queen and involved with Green Arrow.
Yeah, seeing him driving the getaway van, that was awesome, by the way, because it comes up, it spins around, you're like, okay, who's in the van? Because it's usually driven by Diggle or Felicity or something. Nope, it's Quentin. So that was awesome. Same getaway van, maybe, from season one?
Very well could be, although I did not see any Ravager-shaped imprints on the hood from where they ran her over.
They took it to the car.
Yeah, they got it detailed, and you can buff those dents out. They're just small.
And all the blood and everything like that. Oh, so what's left here? We got to talk about the DA. I want to point out that I think the reason that he took the frickin' evidence case into lockups to make sure it was placed against that back wall before it was blown up. Sure, that's what it was all about. And I still believe, as Chris is pointing out, that the DA is Prometheus.
Well, there's a really cool fan theory going around, I think, that IGN picked up, which is he'll be both Vigilante and Prometheus, which could be interesting. I don't know that I believe it. I don't remember all the justifications on it. But I went, you know, it would be cool, because Arrow is all about betrayal and things like that, which is he might side with Oliver a little bit and then feel betrayed from some slight that happened earlier on. And this is all part of his grand revenge scheme, is make the mayor think he's got a good ally and then stab him in the back, both as his superhero character and as his civilian persona.
I like that theory. Did you come up with that theory, Chris?
Bits and pieces of it, but a lot of it also came from IGN.
Okay. I like it. Michelle, what do you think of that theory? Still on the Tommy rant?
Well, I don't think he's going to be both. I think either Chase is either going to be Vigilante or he's Prometheus. Because he's also the DA. And unlike everybody else, he's actually doing his job that he's getting paid for.
Go figure, right?
That would be a lot of work.
Well, I have a question that any of the police department were doing any of their work, because the bad guys were literally camped right outside the fence to the evidence lockup. I mean, like right there, clearly seen from the door, and all those cops that were outside before. Really? You're not going to do anything about it? You see the guys standing across the street, just right across the fence with guns, and you're not going to do anything. Huh.
But not all the cops are straight. That's part of the thing this season.
Some of them are bent.
Yeah. And I would like to point out that if Felicity would have actually taken a moment to listen to Curtis, because Curtis was like, why did Church steal this thing that you could buy at their version of Best Buy? And Felicity's just like, yeah, whatever. And Curtis, like, he was on to something. And even I'm like going, wait a minute, I bet you that's a bomb. And what happened? It was a bomb.
Huh. Go figure.
So good for you, Curtis. They would have just listened to Curtis.
And yeah, just hashtag just listen to Curtis, right? So a couple of just random notes. They had the little discussion back and forth while they were taking down the guy that was stealing the worthless processor, about the differentiation between an Olympian and Mr. Olympia.
Okay, I don't remember that one. Someone refresh my memory, please.
Curtis is running around before as they were setting up to take down the crook, and they were all having this discussion between, like, Curtis, you were an Olympian, or you were Mr. Olympia. No, I'm not Mr. Olympia. I was an Olympian, and I only got a bronze medal, not a gold.
How hard is it to remember, guys? Only bronze, if I recall correctly, had a line something like that. I'm refreshed now. I only got to watch the episode once. Sorry, guys.
In that discussion, we learned a little bit more about his past there. Just remind us about the bronze and the Mr. Olympia versus Olympian. And then Wild Dog was in the Navy. I don't think that was brought up in the show before this time.
Nor the dishonorable discharge he received from the Navy.
That is true. And then when they do get the bad guy and they try to take him to the ACU, they wonder, how are we going to get the guy there? Well, how'd you get there in the first place? Come on. I mean, do superheroes really not know how to get around town? Or, like, after the action, like, how they got there is gone?
Well, SP, Quentin had to take the van to the shop. They needed to get the tires rotated and oil change done. So, with the van in the shop, they didn't know how to get back from there. That's all. Late night oil change, man. It's the best way to do it.
Well, maybe Oliver was so upset that he took the car and basically was like, okay, kids, you figure it out.
Well, Lord Mesa did. You remember the artist who does a lot of the different fan art for it? He actually did have one from them later in the show as they were getting around, was all of those guys drawn in an Uber, taking selfies in the backseat. So maybe they called an Uber, just like Lord Mesa predicted in his artwork.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they did bring up Uber, so maybe.
Oh, yeah, Curtis did. He's like, what are we going to do, call it Uber? So Uber exists in Star City.
But not Lyft, because Lyft is banned there. Mayor Queen is in the pocket of Uber.
It's all a government conspiracy, isn't it?
Exactly.
Don't say it too loud. They'll come after us.
They're already aware of us. NSA is recording every bit of this. So Felicity has an issue with Oliver committing felonies to break out Diggle.
But not killing people.
Well, yeah. She said felonies, though, and I'm thinking, okay, how many felonies has Oliver committed? I know he's trying to do the right thing, but he's still committing felonies. And yes, he's killed people this year, in this season, in the premiere episode. Really? You're worried about felonies breaking Diggle out of jail?
That's the line. You're trying to break out an OTA guy, original Team Arrow guy, from a crime that he didn't commit. And does she even know the extent of what Diggle did? Because remember, Oliver seemed very surprised last week when Lila came in and was like, Johnny's in jail. And he was like, what?
I was just talking to him on Skype.
Yeah, we just Skyped on his military issue C920 webcam.
Painted silver.
That was the C921, actually. It's a prototype. We never saw it.
I see. With the special A20 chip in it, right?
Yeah. No, it's the A19. Don't try and trick me like that.
So Thea and Quentin come back into the Arrow cave after Quentin gets roughed up a little bit in the locker lockup, and they come back to find the team that has been destroyed by Oliver on the street. And Thea's like, Oliver did that to you? And Felicity comes back with, object lesson, it's fine, don't ask. And she didn't. Thea didn't ask. It was just accepted. Okay, I guess they needed a lesson.
Well, there's also the fact that Thea really just does not want to know much of what goes on with the whole heroing lifestyle right now. She wants to be out of it. So it's just best to be like, okay, don't need to know. I'm stepping back.
And don't forget that Blondie is not Felicity's name.
That's true.
She keeps calling him Wild Dog, and he doesn't like being called Wild Dog. So I think that's why he's calling her Blondie.
So do you think they'll have a little truce coming in the future where they figure out new names for Wild Dog?
Maybe. I don't know. I think we're stuck with the Wild Dog name at this point.
I would think so. Hey, guys, don't touch my ball.
I will. It's mine. I'm going to take it.
Hey, so Chris, did you catch the IP address of the dark web meetup with Constantine Kovar?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so it was 108.166.7.161. So try to do who is on that. And I came up with nothing other than it is Rackspace Hosting Corporate from San Antonio.
What if you just put the IP in your address bar?
Well, I don't know. Let's find out. I just did that.
And SP's computer melts down and we all cry.
It's the CW.
Yeah. So
CW.com.
All they did was just do. That's pretty fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. It's 108.166.7.161.
So you didn't have to do DNS lookup, that's all.
Yeah,
that's
by funny. Using this site, you agree to the privacy policies and terms of use.
If your DNS server gets hit again, at least you know how to get to the CW still, in case the hackers come back. We're okay, guys.
DDoS. Here we come. All right. I think I'm out. Michelle, do you have anything?
I would just like to end with Tobias Church and how much I'm enjoying him as a villain. He's organized. His men are loyal. And it's like he knows he's the bad guy. And he's like, he's got Wild Dog. And he's like, I'm going to break you. And he's smiling and laughing. And I just like that.
We all love the character, too, from The Walking Dead. Those of us that have watched him on Walking Dead. He's a likable guy.
Chad L. Coleman is killing it in that role. He's been very good. It is not at all like Tyrese. I mean, Tyrese was a cool, awesome guy. And Tobias Church, he's a bad man. And you should not like him, but you can't help but like him because of the charisma that Chad L. Coleman has playing that role. It's very well done. I have greatly enjoyed it. And it's so strange to see Tyrese as a bad guy.
Light him up.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
So fun.
Chris, you got anything left on the episode that we haven't covered?
I do not, actually.
Oh, I do have one more thing. So Rags and Blondie, they're now coffee buddies because they were passing the coffee cup back and forth between them. And I just want to bring up, do you think they need a barista?
No. You bite your tongue right now. No. Shame on you. Shame, SP. Shame.
It is a reference to the Hawk family last year, and she used to be a barista.
I'm giving you the Mutombo wag right now.
Michelle, why don't you save us from this and take us into next week's episode?
Ooh, next week's episode is Human Target. It's episode 5. It's going to air on Wednesday, November 2nd. When Tobias Church captures and tortures one of Oliver's new recruits, Oliver must turn to an old friend, Christopher Chance, a.k.a. the Human Target, for help. Meanwhile, Felicity's worlds collide when Detective Malone joins the ACU. It's directed by Laura Besley and written by Oscar Balderrama and Sarah Tarkoff.
Cool. Well, guys, we talked about it before. If you've been listening to this podcast since originally started, we used to have what we called the Bat Checklist. I kind of name dropped that near the top of the show, which eventually kind of morphed into the DC Easter egg and pop culture reference checklist. And the fine folks over at comicbook.com do a good job of putting together a checklist each week that we like to add some things to here and there when we catch something that they don't Easter egg-wise. And we got some pretty good Easter eggs coming up in this latest episode, Arrow. So, Michelle, why don't you kick us off with the first Easter egg?
The name game. Artemis and Mr. Terrific finally got their official names this week.
Awesome. And what's his name from Flash was not involved in it.
Cisco.
Not this time. He's been getting not his fair share of naming lately. I won't say anything else in case people didn't see the last episode of Flash. Poor Cisco.
I miss Cisco. Our Cisco.
Cisco's the man. Right here, Cisco. So next up, we've got Cord Industries. It's been referenced before, especially in seasons 2 and 3, less so in season 4, but it's the name of a tech company owned and operated by Ted Cord, and in the comics, he goes by the name of Blue Beetle. So again, more references to Cord Industries, which is pretty cool. Nice little DC Easter egg.
Have you guys been picking up the Blue Beetle comic in DC Rebirth?
That's a negative, Ghost Rider.
Yeah, I have. It's interesting so far. It's captured my attention to keep getting them, at least for now. It has not been on the cut list. So if you haven't checked it out, try to find it. You can always go to Comixology, but I prefer the paper copies myself. And just check it out, see if you like it or not. It does start off in kind of a weird place where it's like the next generation Blue Beetle, but go ahead, check that out. Okay, moving on to the next Easter egg or pop culture reference. We're going to talk about Tech Village, which Michelle brought up before. It's not quite a Best Buy, but it is the store where Felicity Smoke worked at the beginning of Arrow's 3rd season before she started her rise to CEO and then ultimately got fired. This may be the first time it's had an in-story reference in at least a full season that wasn't just a brief callback to quote-unquote Felicity worked there once. It is also due to Ray Palmer's attempts to recruit Felicity to work for him, a subsidiary of Palmer Tech.
You gotta admit, that was a pretty baller move from Ray to be like, well, I own this now too, so you can come work for me. It's pretty sweet.
Right. That's the way to get a date.
Yeah. And speaking of Palmer Tech, of course, this is the company formerly owned by Ray Palmer and then Felicity Smoke. Before that, it was Oliver's company, which he signed over to Ravager as part of Deathstroke's attack on Oliver in the city. It is unclear who owns it now. Maybe it's just whichever stockholder has a plurality and nobody exciting at all. But after 4 years of the company being one of the most regularly used sets on the show, this is the first time we've gone back this year.
I wonder if Felicity is still the majority stockholder in Palmer Tech. That would explain why none of them are working.
Maybe we'll find out more on that later. I don't know.
Maybe.
So next up, we referenced it, I believe, last week or the week before, Amertech comes up again because Church took the RPGs from Amertech. And remember, going back to the comics, that's a company that John Henry Irons used to work for, designing weapons, who's also known as Steel. And he had a really bad movie where Shaq played the role of Steel. Don't watch it. It's very bad. Very, very bad.
So the next one was completely obvious to me, but, you know, I've been a Star Wars fan since I was a young teenager. Cell 1138. So not only is it the name of George Lucas's directorial debut, THX 1138, it is also Your Highness's cell number in Star Wars A New Hope, cell block 1138. So come on, guys, that is an obvious reference. And I'm glad I picked it up and I'm glad everybody else did. But thanks for the cool Star Wars reference. And don't forget, we have the Star Wars movie coming out in, what, a month and a half?
December 16th.
Yeah, coming soon.
That's going to be so. So let's talk next about Molecular Destabilizer. This was a interesting little MacGuffin they put together here. This was the spray that Oliver used that immediately and drastically destabilized the molecules in the floor in which it was sprayed in the show. Question being, how does it not dissolve the bottle it's in? There must be something fancy there.
Teflon.
Yeah, there you go. It feels like a nod back to the universal solvent used in the first arc of the All-Star Squadron. In that story, a solvent is designed by the villain Dr. Zodiac and used to dissolve everything from walls to guns and made the gimmick weapons used by a number of Justice Society of America members pretty much useless because they got dissolved.
And a callback. This one is kind of an odd mention, but it's interesting to note that Friedkin's comments to Oliver in jail, "Do you think you scare me more than him?" are echoed in the present day almost immediately by the man being interrogated by Adrian Chase.
Mm-hmm. We didn't really go into it. We discussed the flashbacks, but guys, I'm really enjoying the flashbacks this year. They're probably the best that it's ever been. And we've had character development along the way. We know where Oliver is. We know some of the characters around him in Russia, but I just think it's great. So I'm glad that they're also able to intertwine it with the actual story so well, again, just like they did in season one and season two.
Agreed.
Next time you know, you're going to see Oliver eating a chicken in both. Hey, guys, I think that about wraps it up for the episode. The callbacks, are you ready to get in some news?
News, 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 news.
We'll start out with reporter Chris. What do you got for us first, sir?
Well, Mark Guggenheim did an interview where he revealed the title of Arrow's upcoming 100th episode. We do know that episode 100 is going to be part of the four-show crossover between all of the CW superhero shows. We do now know episode season 5, episode 8, will be entitled Invasion with an exclamation point. So now we can guess.
Is this going to be the appropriate reboot of Independence Day?
Yes, it very well could be. Mark Guggenheim also said in the interview, Legends of Tomorrow 207 also called Invasion with an exclamation point. So he said, I'll leave it up to you to guess what The Flash is called.
We'll see pretty soon.
My money's on Invasion.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, Michelle, you're up next. What do you got for us?
Is Tommy Merlin really Prometheus? The article discusses the possibility that Tommy, hashtag no Tommy, no Arrow, Merlin could be Prometheus. Tommy could be alive due to Flashpoint or Malcolm using the Lazarus Pit. Since producers like Mark Guggenheim has said Oliver bears a measure of responsibility for the creation of Prometheus, longtime viewers are convinced the villain is more so connected to Oliver as a person than as a vigilante.
Probably one of the poor kids that Tommy and Oliver beat up in grade school or something like that.
You know, Tommy is at the top of my list. I'm not just like, it has to be Tommy. I actually have a list that's 9 people long. Yes, I do. I actually have a list. But Tommy is, you know, I think there's a high chance for it to be Tommy.
I have a new theory. It's Earth 3, Oliver Queen. I'm just messing with you guys.
I don't even know what Earth we're really on right now, because you've got the CW Earth 1, you've got CBS Earth 1, you've got Earth 2, Earth 3. I have no idea what Earth we're really on.
Beats me, man. I have no clue. But what I did have for you guys next, though, is we've talked a lot about how's Diggle going to respond when he finds out about Flashpoint and the fact that he used to have a daughter and now has a son. Well, David Ramsey did an interview where he pretty much revealed how Diggle's going to respond to all these Flashpoint changes. We do know that Flashpoint changed Diggle's family, but how is Diggle going to handle the revelation? Much more compassionately than you might think, David Ramsey said. Diggle can't miss anything he's never had, and Flashpoint changes history. It changes his history directly, so he can never really miss baby Sarah anymore, because he never had her. But he's concerned about Barry. Barry's actions were reckless, and with all that power, being reckless to someone as disciplined as Diggle comes off as a shock.
Also, he's never really liked Barry. I mean, he always gets freaked out about the speed power, so I could see a little bit of tension there. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's more worried about you didn't use your power responsibly and you made a mess of things. He's being very pragmatic about it.
I miss baby Sarah.
Who?
Yeah, we all do.
I only know John Jr.
No, here's the thing. It's obvious that it looks like Lila and Diggle never got divorced. So that means that whole awkward dating the sister-in-law is over. That is a good point. Thank you, Barry, because that was weird. So they have John Diggle Jr., but they could have also have Sarah. They could have two children instead of just one. I want justice for baby Sarah.
Maybe we'll get baby Sarah next season.
Yeah, maybe they're going to have fun making baby Sarah this season.
Freedom sex.
They're going to have hive sex.
That's right. Freedom hive sex. That's awesome. Okay, let's move on to the history of the vigilante. Michelle, break that down for us.
There's a nice article that breaks down the comic book history of vigilante about how, again, Adrian Chase story that's sort of similar to what's coming up on Arrow, the role of DA, put him on someone's hit list, family got him killed because of it. So he becomes a vigilante, and this ties into the next article. Is Adrian Chase the vigilante already? Actor Jose Segarra weighs in. So, in the season 5 premiere of Arrow, Felicity Smoke showed Oliver Queen an image of somebody wearing ski goggles, supposedly a police artist sketch of an anonymous vigilante working in Star City. Team Arrow haven't mentioned him again since, although longtime comic book readers recognized him. The image was that of Adrian Chase, better known as Vigilante. So if tonight is Vigilante's genesis, what's the deal with that police sketch? We asked Josh Segarra, who plays Chase, to clarify. That's what I think is going to be interesting, is what parts of the comic are we going to get to put on the show? He responded when comicbook.com asked him about the police sketch. I know the answer to that, but the audience don't. But that's what's been great, is that we are trying to keep it as much as we can in the world, but also keep it exciting, because I don't want any plot twists to be a thing where people are expecting something and don't get to them. So I'm hoping that we get the right pieces along the way. So now I'm getting to tell the backstory, and we get to tell the biggest pieces and get to show him becoming who he is before episode 7. So this is, again, why I'm thinking that Adrian Chase is not Prometheus, and he's actually is becoming Vigilante.
Then opens up the door to Tommy again. That's great. Yeah, you got a list of 9. We've talked about Chase and Tommy. Who's a third on your list of 9?
Okay, you want number 3?
Or well, anybody on there.
Billy Malone is on there. Because I thought it was kind of weird that he knew information about Prometheus. Remember that scene where he pulls Oliver and he's like, yo, there's order on the street. This Prometheus guy wants you dead. And it's not Tobias Church because, you know, he got angry at Tobias Church. So that moment put him on my list for Prometheus.
Yeah, and who knows what kind of pillow talk he's had too. So interesting. All right. Well, the reveals will keep coming as we delve into Michelle's list. In the meantime, Chris, why don't you take us down into a Wild Dog Casey Jones comparison?
So we talked about last week, there was that real cool moment where they're riding in the elevator and Oliver goes, hey, I like the hockey mask, or something to that effect. So Stephen Amell did an interview where he actually brought this up. The producers asked him, do you think this is a little too on the nose? And Amell responded, no, because why are we doing this show if we're not going to have fun with something like that? Which I think is the ultimate way to talk about one of these small little moments like that. It doesn't take away from the plot in any way, shape, or form, but it gives the fans a nice chance to smile when they go, oh yeah, Oliver Queen's also Casey Jones. That's pretty cool. It's a nice little shout out. I'm glad they did it.
Me too. And Michelle, I think this show and the other DC shows that you live tweet at the Twitter account at Starling Tribune, they're up for some awards this year, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, so the first round of the People's Choice Awards is happening. How the People's Choice Awards work is that you go and you can pick the top five of each category. And then later on in round two, we go around and we pick the winner. So right now is that first initial stage. And Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, and Legends are on the big list for best sci-fi fantasy show. Stephen Amell is up for sci-fi fantasy actor and social media star. So go in, vote. You can also write in some nominees. So if you think, you know, Emily Rickard deserves like a actress in the sci-fi show, you can write her in. But starting November 15th, that's when the voting process for the winner starts. So right now we need to get our people on that big list.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag no laurel, no arrow. I think this is where you make your votes loud and clear, people. This is where it happens. Hey, Chris, talking about Laura, let's talk about another one of your favorite characters on Arrow, Deadshot.
This is actually one I do like, and we were all pretty shocked when Deadshot turned up on Arrow just recently, and we all thought, oh, maybe it's Flashpoint, and they gave us a nice little twist of Daigle's just imagining him. So Mark Guggenheim was doing another interview, and he was also asked, how did this come to be? How did you guys get Deadshot in here? And he said in the interview, quote, it's always a case-by-case thing. In this case, it was really simple. I went to the writer's room. There was a pitch on the table. I shot an email off to Jeff Johns. I got a response back, and Deadshot's in the episode. So the takeaway here is the big head honchos at DC told them they could use Deadshot for this one-off instance. So evidently, if they have a good idea right now, DC is open to allowing them to use some of these characters they were using in the past. So maybe we'll get more.
Only for a one-shot. Well, we're going to get more in the 100th episode because we already know that characters like Nyssa and whatever show up.
Don't forget my boy Slade.
Oh, yeah. But, and that's pretty contentious right there with Slade. But beyond the 100th episode, I have doubts as to what we're actually going to get access to or not, depending on what's in the movies. Although I think DC's movie universe, cinematic universe, has a slightly less strong case in this time where they've obviously already gone between the two with Suicide Squad and the characters, different actors, at least with the characters on Arrow. So I don't know. We'll see. It was nice to see him on screen. That was an awesome part of the episode. Awesome part of the fifth season, if you ask me. Okay, Michelle, you have various different general DC TV news beyond Arrow to run through. Can you take us through a couple of them really quick?
Sure. There's a picture of Flash and Supergirl with some of our Arrow people, Mr. Terrific, Wild Dog. It's all about the crossover. The crossover again begins in Supergirl on November 28th, then continues through the week's DC shows, including Flash on November 29th and Arrow on November 30th and Legends of Tomorrow on December 1st. There's a nice article in CBR.com about how 15 times Supergirl empowered women. Again, Supergirl is near and dear to my heart, and it basically is just 15 times Supergirl is awesome. And more on Flash. There's this interesting, what was interesting about comicbook.com article. The headline is about Danielle Pennebaker and Caitlin, but in the article is this video with Rick Kosnick, who played Eddie Thawne. And he's discussing the possibility of him coming back because, again, Flashpoint, thanks, Barry. And finally, I got this article right before we came to air. And it says, Arrowverse will offer Damian Dark a chance for redemption. And Damian's back, courtesy of Time Travel and Legends of Tomorrow. And there he may just find himself on the side of the angels. Asked if there was any way Dark could be redeemed, Madonna said, just had that conversation. Yes, there is one way that we can redeem him. As to whether or not we'll see that sometime soon, he added, at some point you will. I have mixed feelings about this because I love Damian Dark as a bad guy. And I'm sort of tired when it's like, you get a redemption arc and you get a redemption arc and you get a redemption arc. That's one of the reasons why I'm liking Tobias Church. He's just evil. Sometimes having a character who's just evil is good.
Right. The only way I'll counter any of that is it's great seeing Neil McDonough back on screen. I saw him in the premiere episode of Legends of Tomorrow. It was awesome to see His just his reaction, he's having fun with the role. He plays the role of Damien very nicely. So it's great to see him. However, we've been through the arc already, and it's nice to see some history, but I don't know what kind of new material, how far can they actually bring the character into new material? I don't know. We'll see. It's hard to tell right now. Thank you very much for breaking that down for us, Michelle. Thank you very much, Chris, for your news articles as well. We're going to move on to some feedback right now. And first of all, I mentioned this before. I'm going to mention this again. Michelle is doing some fantastic live tweeting of the DC TV shows on CW on our Twitter account at Starling Tribune. And this past week, she got some play on a tweet that she made, which was, I want Wynn, Cisco, and Felicity crossover. Hashtag Supergirl CW, hashtag The Flash, hashtag Arrow, at Supergirl staff, at Arrow writers. I think you hit all the appropriate hashtags and Twitter accounts with that.
I did. But what I really enjoyed was somebody retweeted that. Jordan Marie at my pixie dust, two T's. Yes, all my babies together. So there are others like me who it's like, yeah, it's going to be great. Barry, Flash. Yeah, whatever. I want all the nerd babies to just have their own little crossover. That would make my heart fill with joy. And it's nice to know that I'm not the only one.
No, and Doctor Who is doing something very similar. They're breaking out a whole separate sideshow for the school that is surrounding where Clara was teaching before. So I mean, this sort of stuff can happen. It's happened before. Lots of shows have had spinoffs. I mean, you could argue that the entire DC TV universe is a spinoff of Arrow, really. But I would love to see that sort of that would actually get some ratings in the off season or something. That'd be awesome. Although Emily Records needs some time to work on her tan.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you guys pay attention to their Instagrams, when they're not on set, they're at some beach tanning. That's what they do all the time.
I hope they're wearing sunscreen to avoid getting skin cancer.
I hope so, too. At DX Ferris, friend of the show, DX Ferris, he tweeted us a couple of times. And first of all, he wanted to let us know that Arrow action and choreography is very rad this season. And yes, sir, it is. And I know he likes the fighting. He was big into Daredevil as well. He also tweeted us and he said, I didn't love the team at first, but I'm warming up fast. Hockey mask joke equals hilarious. Final fight equals nasty and gnarly. And that was from last week's episode, and definitely it was. So thank you very much, Ferris, for the tweet. And thank you very much to at my pixie dust with two T's for your tweets. We did get a voicemail. You guys ready to hear it?
Let's do it.
Uh-huh.
Hey guys, it's Adam calling in with feedback on this week's episode of Arrow, and, well, it really didn't go the way I thought it would. I suppose it makes sense to pull Oliver away from the B team for them to have their own learning curve, but still seems a bit early to do that. Heck, for that matter, when they had an all-hands-on-deck situation with the whole attack on the anti-crime unit, I was hoping that Speedy would suit up for that. But once again, I suppose it's just to have them have their own problems that they had to deal with. I'm glad that at least for the moment they seem to be done with the whole tension between Rory and Felicity over the nuke situation. Nothing all that memorable about the flashbacks or the Diggle storyline this week, so can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
Adam, nothing memorable about the flashbacks? I mean, they're awesome. They're great. They made Oliver who he is, a Broadfoot captain. So that's what I say about that. But thank you very much, Adam. I say that in joking. Thank you very much for sending us the voicemail. We really appreciate it. Michelle, do you have anything to say to Adam?
I agree with the Speedy part. I kind of thought when she was coming in, she would have kind of done it. I know she's reluctant to be the whole hero thing, but you know, every once in a while, I think she should put on the suit and sort of kind of come to terms with the fact that she just can't completely walk away from it.
The suit is so pretty, too. I want to see her in the suit. It's awesome. She fits it well. She does the action well. I want to see her in the suit. Chris, you have any comments?
I also thought it might have been a little too soon to put the B-team off on their own without Oliver involved, but if it means I get Diggle back sooner and back as Spartan, I'm totally okay with it.
That's right, and I've already commented before on the Felicity Rory Coffee Buddies, hashtag we need a barista.
They have the best Keurig system ever. That's what they have.
I see. So, Chris, we're part of the GunnaGeek.com network, and there's a bunch of other geeky shows. So if you've liked this show, is there another show on the GunnaGeek network that they should go listen to?
Sure. I'd really encourage you guys to go check out episode 31 of the Game Life Balance US podcast entitled Highlander, Halloween, and Nintendo Switch. So there's a lot going on. Cody talks about how he found himself watching Highlander in a movie theater in Wrigleyville as the Chicago Cubs won their first pennant since 1945. Plus, John has his first annual Halloween Love Fest and recommends movies and games for the season. Finally, Cody discusses the Nintendo Switch with John. So these guys, they got a great take on things. I can't wait to hear the mix of game and life events that they talk about in this last episode. Seriously, it's one of my favorite shows to listen to. Go check out Game Life Balance US over on GunnaGeek.com or GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
It is definitely one of my favorite shows to clamor because they say some outrageous and hilarious things.
That's the best part of it, is all the outrageous things they come up with. I'm jealous. I wish I did.
Yeah, I know. Me too. It makes clamoring really easy on their show when I get around to it.
Doesn't it, though? But guys, I guess it is about that time. We need to start wrapping up on things. Thank you to everyone who did listen in live in the chat room over on Geeks.live. And all you also that download the podcast to listen to later or go and rewatch it on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget you can download the podcast, listen on Spreaker, replay on YouTube, watch replays on Geeks.live. We want to be everywhere so you can consume the Starling Tribune.
And we will be somewhere else really soon in the coming weeks. So I want to say, go out and tell other listeners. They can join in on our live conversation at Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on Geeks.live. And I also want to say thank you very much to our video editor, Chris, and to all the fans of the show.
You can watch the next live show on the GunnaGeek Network over on Geeks.live. The next live show on the network is Better Podcasting, Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Go on and go over to iTunes to give us a 5-star review. We would appreciate it. Like us on Facebook and YouTube and badger us on Twitter. You can find all of our contact information on the GunnaGeek Network at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, where you can check out our forums and other shows. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283.
That was a great episode, guys. I love hanging out with you guys, talking about Arrow and all the DC shows, but I think that just about wraps it up for another week. So any last words as we sign off? At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag no more barista jokes.
At Michelle Ely.
Hashtag leaves in my hair.
And you can find me at Stargate Pioneer on Twitter. And I will leave you with hashtag Flashpoint. Thanks, Barry. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.